Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, Introverted Queen. On today's episode, I am talking to Sylvie. Sylvie is a blogger. She is a writer who writes tips to aspiring writers, and she's currently writing her first novel. We had a great chat about writing and also about what inspires us. Check it out. Hi, Sylvie.
Hey, Cindy. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being my guest, by the way.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, it's so nice to have you here in my presence and just, you know, talking.
Just vibing.
Yeah, exactly. So introverts are, you know, they're great communicators in writing, of course. But do you think being introverted makes you a better writer?
So I think being introverted makes it easier to get into the process of writing. But I mean, because introverts are used to and because they prefer solitary activities, it just seems natural to get into that vibe, to lock yourself away, make a cup of tea, focus on your words, focus on the revising and the editing and the idea grafting process. It's something that I think comes a lot more naturally to people who enjoy their own company. Mm-hmm. Because the main difference between introverts and extroverts is obviously, like, extroverts, they gain energy and they gain more of themselves being in large groups, going to parties and, right. and socializing. It energizes them. Mm-hmm. And for us, for introverts, it's an energy vacuum. Like, we go and we just feel drained after. It takes all of us to be present and to be social and to be, you know, acting like a member of society or as people want us to act. Mm-hmm. So I almost feel guilty, but me trying to find a silver lining to our whole, like, the whole global situation that we're undergoing right now, I would say the biggest benefit, at least for introverts, is, like, they don't have to compromise themselves or give an excuse for making this choice to focus on other tasks. Mm-hmm. There, before COVID or before, you know, coronavirus and the pandemic, you'd want to, maybe you had a choice on a Friday or Saturday evening to either sit down with a good book or to sit down and really plug away at a manuscript or a short story. Or you might get a call from a friend like, come on, let's go out, let's go clubbing. Yes. And so society or the socially acceptable thing would be to put the writing aside and go out and socialize and be a member of society. Mm-hmm. But I think part of the underlying benefit of not having to go out is the choice is made for you, so you don't have to feel as guilty. So I think, at least at the early part of the lockdown, I think a lot of introverts were kind of in their glory because it was the first time ever in many people's lifetime that they could do what they wanted to do and not mm-hmm. be judged for it. Mm-hmm. I think now that has gone on for, I think it's going to be a year since things started happening here in Canada. I think even us introverts are feeling the pull or the kind of the drain. Mm-hmm. And I think it puts us on a level playing ground with the extroverts. Like, we're all kind of in the same stage, and I'm actually kind of missing the social interaction. I think part of what makes writing special is taking those experiences and adding them into our writing process. And when we're sitting here doing the same thing every day over and over, mm-hmm. we're missing out on those experiences. So I do think it helps, but that said, like, being quarantined and being locked up, not so much. I'm looking forward to having the ability to reach out and converse and be with people and have that enhance my writing as an introvert.
Yeah, no, I feel you. And I feel sometimes that people think that introverts don't like going out. And it's like, no, we do. But now that we're forced to stay in, it's like, I kind of like having that choice of like, do I want to go out? Do I want to stay in? Now it's like, I don't have that choice. So no, I totally feel you on that. So as a Black woman, have you ever had to edit your story to conform in non-Black spaces?
Well, Cindy, I thought long and hard about that question, and I think it's a really interesting question because as a Black woman, I think that does put some underlying expectations on what I write and how I write. I was in 2020, I was actually let go from my previous job due to the economic effects of COVID-19. So in a bid to make more money or supplement my income, I did a lot more writing, probably more writing than I'd ever done in my life. And it was the first time in my life that I actually wrote for money. I was actually taking legitimate freelance gigs. And a lot of those gigs, I think I had achieved those gigs because I'm a Black woman. I think the timing, especially, like I was laid off late May, like early June. And if you remember, this was around the time of the protests, the George Floyd, right, the reemergence of Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. So suddenly there was this big explosion of media and publications, and they were almost ravenous for Black voices. Mm. So did I take advantage of that? Probably. Mm-hmm. If I was at the forefront, you know, if that's who they wanted to hear and that's who they wanted to talk to, I'm like, yes, please, I'll take the opportunity. But I wrote for a few places and I wrote a few articles that did touch upon the Black experience and being Black. I wrote a piece for The Spool about a cartoon that dealt with racism from the 90s. I wrote for this other site. I wrote a newsletter talking about the census, the 2020 census in the United States, and why it was so important for Black people to give their voice and to be counted for the census so that their voice actually mattered when tax dollars were allocated. And I actually wrote something for a local online publication here in Toronto, Sissy Mag. And it was just my experience as a Black woman, how I took this experience of being during COVID-19 and losing my job, but also gaining a better appreciation of what I'm capable of. And so in terms of editing, I don't think that I'm really needing to edit myself, but at mm-hmm. the same time, I feel this expectation to follow this narrative of what I should be writing about mm-hmm. because I'm a Black woman. Mm-hmm. I'll give two examples in particular. One author I've been following right now is, I wrote it down so I remember how to say her name, Tomi Adeyemi. And she's the author that wrote the new series, Children of Blood and Bone. Oh, yes. I don't know if you're familiar with that novel. Yeah, it's that. Mm-hmm. I guess you would classify it as a young adult novel, mm-hmm. but it's about a tribe in Africa that has a group of people with white hair that have mystical powers. So it's almost like Black Panther meets X-Men. I think that's the best way I could describe it.
Fantasy, almost.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. exactly. And I enjoyed it. I know her sequel is out, and I'm looking forward to reading it. But sometimes I feel a bit of resentment in why, just like, maybe in her case, like, she had a story to tell, and this is a story she's telling, and she felt connected to the story, and that's why she wrote the story. But I almost feel like maybe publishing, they look at you and say, okay, you're Black, so you have to tell a story about the Black struggle, or mm-hmm. about, it has to be about Blackness. Right. And I don't think that necessarily has to be the case. Mm-hmm. You know, you shouldn't have to be the race that you're writing about, or the race that you're trying to tell a story about. It sometimes it helps, and other times, you know, like, it just I think what I'm trying to say, like on the flip side of that, there are artists and creators that are doing stories, and they don't necessarily have to be about blackness, mm-hmm. but it's a story being created by a black creator. Best example I have is Jordan Peele. Get Out had mm-hmm. a more political leaning narrative to yes. it in its storytelling. Mm-hmm. But when I went to go see Us the first time, I went to see it with, I think I initially saw it with my sister, and we both looked and we were like, huh. Like, I had to really stop and think if I actually liked the movie, because I think we both went in with that Get Out expectation. Mm-hmm. And that's not the movie that Jordan Peele gave us. He gave us a compelling story, but it wasn't a story that really necessarily revolved around race. And when that's I right. watched it again with my partner, I think the realization that I came to was, this movie is important. This movie matters because it's a horror movie mm-hmm. With characters that happen to be black. It yeah. doesn't have anything like it. You could have swapped it with any other characters, black, right. White, Asian. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have mattered. It would have been the same story, essentially. But the characters happen to be black. And mm-hmm. I'm just thinking, yeah, why can't we have more stories and more movies about that, where it doesn't really matter who's filling the role. If the story's good, mm-hmm. then the story's good. It makes me appreciate it more when I see myself in these characters, because then right. I know that these stories sell and these stories, people will be hungry for the stories. I think I mentioned on my blog, I think one of the best parts of Us for me was the very beginning, because it's this little black girl just walking around like at the fair, at the yes. carnival. And she has like the little black hairstyle, like, you mm-hmm. know, hair slicked back. The mom did it, the little baubles yes. and the plaits. And I'm like, that was me.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. you love to see it. You mm-hmm. love to see it. Cause like, again, it could have been any character, but the director was black and he chose to have a black voice and a black character represent this narrative. And I love it. And I want to see more of it. And that's what I hope to do when I'm with my novel or what I'm trying to write. I want to write a story that's compelling and speaks to people, but I want it to speak to everyone. Just because I'm black, it doesn't mean I have to only speak to like my community, the community I'm mm-hmm. I relate more to. I want to tell a story that inspires and speaks to all people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, editing, no, I think it's the opposite. I feel like we should be encouraged to be able to speak our truth or speak whatever we want, regardless of race.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, you nailed it. It's so true. So true. There are power in words. Have you ever written something on your blog and then you're like, oh man, I shouldn't have posted this?
Yeah, sometimes in my writing, I open my big fat mouth and I say things that in hindsight, I feel like I have to regret. Nothing on my website particularly, but a lot of the writing that I do on sylviesoul.com, I do have a lot of it on my Medium page as well. Mm-hmm. And back in 2018, I was writing more so on Medium than my blog. So there were a few pieces on there that I never actually translated over to the website, but there was one piece in particular, and it's the only piece I've ever actually deleted. Like most things, I'm like, well, it's out there, it's there,
right.
It is what it is. But there was one piece I wrote, and it was about Wattpad. There's a company here in Toronto. It's like a social media platform for storytelling, mm-hmm. and it's actually stationed right here in Toronto. They actually just signed a really big deal with a South Korean company, like $600 million. It's crazy.
Oh, wow.
So it's okay. a big deal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm active-ish on Wattpad. I don't use it as much. I have some pieces that I occasionally curate or just try to improve, but nothing. It's more for fun. But I had been following the trajectory of Wattpad, and they were doing all these new things that I thought were kind of odd. They started a storytelling platform, but then they were moving on to making movies and making books. And at the time, I was really hesitant to use Wattpad for anything, any serious writing, because I feel when you're writing something that you intend to get published, you have to be very careful what you do with that writing.
True.
Whether it's whether you submit it to a contest or you post it online. In the case of contests, if you don't read the fine print, you might be giving up the rights even if you lose. Mm-hmm. They might be posting your stuff without your consent or with your consent because you didn't read the fine print. And something that writers really need to be aware of is once your writing is online, it's technically published. And there's a lot of publishers, I think they go for first publishing rights. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if you self-published or you wrote it on a blog. Once it's online or once it's there, it's published. So like they won't touch it. You just gave away your rights. Mm-hmm. And so I had this thought about Wattpad where I almost felt like they were maybe taking advantage of younger, less experienced writers that didn't realize that they're on there excitingly writing for a chance to be picked up for their Wattpad Books branch with the chance or the opportunity to be published. Mm-hmm. But not realizing that if they're not chosen, what's done is done, and they've already technically published their work on the site. So if other publishers see that, it's like, well, you've already published. Like, where are the publishing rights for that? So I went on Medium basically and just spoke about that and spoke about my feelings on it. But I don't know. I felt like I didn't want to disparage a company that I think in the grand scheme of things, we're doing good things for writers. Mm-hmm. It's not just about getting published. For some people, they just want their work out there so that it could be shared, so that they can get feedback. And it's just an outlet for them to be creative. So I felt like I was being too harsh on the company with my writing. So I actually deleted it. Another thing briefly that I haven't deleted that is on my site that I might do a follow up to was me disparaging Medium in itself. I actually stopped writing for Medium for about a year and a half, saying, oh, like, you know, this is pointless. Why am I writing for this site and paying them $5 so that I have a chance to make money, or mm-hmm. it's taking away like traffic from my site, yada, yada, yada. So I'm like, that's it. I'm done. I'm never writing for Medium again. So fast forward to like about 8 weeks ago, I'm like, you know, maybe I'll give Medium another chance. So I kind of, with my tail between my legs, kind of quietly went back on Medium, and I've been posting simultaneously on both my site and Medium. Because what I've come to learn, even like, it's just extra eyes, right?
Right.
Medium has that grasp. They have that better pull on SEO. Mm-hmm. So if I write something for my site versus on Medium, it actually has a better chance of being seen on Medium than my site. So it's me basically swallowing my pride and accepting that, you know, I want my site to have the views mm-hmm. and the popularity, but, you know, maybe I'll repost again and make a little money on the side. Yeah, so that's something I've kind of backstepped on. And I guess the last thing I would say that I kind of sort of regret, but not really, because I haven't deleted it yet. I do have a secret Twitter account whose name I'm not going to divulge.
Oh, really?
But yeah, it's not a troll account. It's more of it was an account I used to criticize, not always criticize, but just give my thoughts on different literary works, whether mm-hmm. I liked it, whether I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And I've chosen to keep that anonymous because I have to put myself in these creators' shoes, right? You, if you were someone who wrote and spent years and a good portion of your time, energy into something, and then someone goes on and just finds the most creative way to lambast it, like, that's not going to make you feel good, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel a little guilty of my criticism. Others, like, I was positive about it, so I don't really care, but it's just like, there's no real good in bashing other people's work. So right. I leave it up because I still like the account, but I do feel a little guilty like having it out there in social space. Someone might find out one day what the account is, but you know, it's a good outlet.
Definitely. Are there any myths you would like to clarify to aspiring writers?
Yes. So my site is all about trying to get these young writers, these kids who are in love with English class and creative writing, and they're just starting their journey on being a writer. And I guess my biggest advice to them would be, success does not come overnight. Mm. Like, you're not just going to write a thing and it's going to win a contest, or it's going to be picked up by a publisher automatic. It's like, oh, this is great, and you're going to sell a million copies like J.K. Rowling. It does not happen like that. Mm-hmm. It takes time. I've been doing this for years. I've been doing this since high school, and I've made a lot of mistakes, the trial and error. I learn. I take criticism. It's something that you have to, it's a practice. It's something you have to work on and work towards, maybe not daily, because I know people's time is limited, or they only have so much energy in the day for certain tasks, but it should be a regular, consistent practice. And also not to wait for a muse. Don't wait for inspiration. It's like the same analogy, if you want to get fit, you want to get swole and go to the gym or whatever. So you go to the gym and you spend like 3 hours just going ham on the machines, and you think that's going to make you like buff and attractive, and it's not the case. What really makes the difference is just showing up consistently and doing the work. You may not do the best work that you've ever done every time, but as long as you're continuously improving and continuously doing the work, then you're going to see results. So that's my biggest advice to aspiring writers. It's just go on it. Just write, just keep writing. And, you know, don't wait for inspiration. Just keep that habit going, and eventually you will see results.
Mm-hmm. And it's so hard sometimes, because you want to write and you have zero inspiration, and you're like, I have nothing to write about. Why am I doing this? Let me wait for inspiration. And of course, the inspiration doesn't come. Like, it comes maybe 3-4 weeks, and then you're like, I don't know. So yeah, definitely. It's hard. It's hard, but it's a really good tip. What would you tell your younger writing self?
I would say, first thing, like, trust in yourself. Like, I think back to when I first started writing. I did have dreams of writing, but maybe also the fear is like, well, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe what if I put all this effort in and nothing happens? What if like all this work is for nothing? You just have to trust in yourself and believe that you can get to where you need to be. Like, I'm still not there yet. Like, where I see myself now, I keep visualizing finishing my novel, and I want to get there. So I have to believe, I want to believe I can get there. I'm not there yet, but it's just like taking the time to visualize and see myself in the future, and seeing, like, actually seeing scenes of me speaking maybe with a person who'd read my book, and just saying that they love the book and it spoke to them. That's that place I want to be at. So I have to trust myself that I'm not there yet, but I'm working towards it. I have to believe, and this is another thing I would tell myself, that I was put on this earth for a reason. Mm-hmm. I was put here to write, and I feel like I was put here to inspire the whole world. No, maybe not, but inspire at least that one person to get in their head and to make them think, wow, like, is this something that I can do? And they take that belief and trust in themselves, and they put it on paper, and just the cycle continues. So that's what I would love to tell myself, like, keep going, put yourself out there, and get to a place where you can inspire others. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say to my younger self.
No, definitely. That's so important. And I remember when I first started writing my blog, I was like, nobody's reading this. I'm pretty sure it's like literally my immediate family who's trying to encourage me, and that's it. Until somebody sent me a message, and they're like, I really like what you wrote. I could relate, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, Somebody's reading? Okay, you know what? I'm just going to keep writing. So
sometimes
all you need is like that one person and you're like, okay, I'm doing something right. So yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just takes that one.
One person. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Sylvie. This was fun. Thank you for being a guest. And I cannot wait to read your novel. Looking forward to it.
It's on the way. I'm just pulling it out of the head now. But I hope to have something very soon.
Okay, awesome.
But this was fun. This was a blast.
It really was. All right, take care, Sylvie. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That was such a fun conversation I had with Sylvie, and I hope you learned something insightful, just as much as I did. Don't forget to share this episode and also share your thoughts and comments with me. You can find me at introverted_queenblog on Instagram. Until then, take care and we'll talk soon.